Spanish Harlem are not just pretty words to say. I thought I knew, but now I know that rose trees never grow in New York City. Until you see this trash can dream come true, you stand at the edge while people run you through. And to thank the Lord, there's people out there like you. I thank the Lord, there's people out there like you. Some bankers, some lawyers turn around and say good morning to the night. For unless they see the sky, but they can't, and that is why. No, not if it's dark outside or light. This Broadway's got, it's got a lot of songs to sing. If I knew the tunes, I might join in. I go my way alone, I grow my own sweet shabby song in New York City. Subway's no way for a good man to go down. Rich man can ride, and the hobo, he can drown. And I thank the Lord for the people I have found. I thank the Lord for the people I have found. While Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatters, sons of bankers, sons of lawyers, turn around.
The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length, where we discuss all things E-Mini, along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
And good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Tuesday, 13th day of September, 2011. Quick look at the numbers. The Dow is down 27. S&P is up by 2. And the comp is up by 12. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon, Dwayne.
Okie doke. So, it's been a bit of a back and forth, choppy kind of morning. I've got an hourly chart up on the screen for those of you who can see the screen. If you can't see the screen, then you have not clicked the link, which I would show you on a screen, but if you can't see the screen, then you wouldn't be able to see me show you the link. Wow. That's heavy. That's heavy, dude. All right. But from any page on the CFRN website, the right-hand side of the page, you'll see a lovely radio tower that says Listen Live. Below that, listen to the live stream. And yet below that, to view our charts and participate in the live discussion, click here. When you click there, although it says here, you'll be transported to this page, which is the daily live broadcast link. You simply click this link every Monday, and you're instantly registered for the entire week. You can also click it on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. Okay? When you click that link, it takes you to this page. There's also a large green button in case you missed that. Watch live now. It takes you to the very same page. So I've tried to make it extremely simple. Also, you will notice that underneath the radio tower and the live radio stream 24/7 and the participate link, there is the live trading room results link. Each day during this part of the radio broadcast, Michael does a recap of what transpired in the live trading room. He'll be doing that here in just a few minutes. For those of you who may have missed that, since we began, we've compiled everything together for you on a page called Live Trading Room Results. And it goes back to August the 8th, and then it rolls forward through every trading day since we started. Now, you'll notice that there are days like August the 11th where we had 0 and 0. Guess what? We still made a video, we still posted it. Why? Because that's the truth about trading. Here's a day where we had 12 ES ticks, but we were negative 8 YM points. Why would we want to post that? That's certainly nothing to brag about, is it? Well, yeah, you know, it's not bad. Bottom line is, that's the truth about trading. Not every day will you be a hero. Not every day will you knock one out of the park. What you simply have to do is show up on the field every day, and each and every day, you bring your best game. Here's a day we were up 8 ES ticks, down 27 YM points. We list the ES and ticks, and then down at the very bottom of the page, running total, 79 ES points, 3 yesterday, 314 YM points, 3 yesterday, $5,520 per contract over the past 25 trading days since we started keeping this video record. You might do better, you might do worse. You can find out by taking the free trial. Simply click there. Past performance does not guarantee future results. Trading is risky. You can lose all of your money. If you believe nothing else on this page, believe that, because it's true. It's all true, but that's really true. Okay, so the page is there. You know how to get there. You know how to take the free trial. You know how to listen to the radio 24/7. You know how to see the charts, participate in the discussion, ask questions, actually be a part of the program. So we'll go back to the 1 hour chart that I have up on my screen. And as you can see, from midday yesterday afternoon, now this is hourly. This is also an intraday chart. Doesn't show the overnight Globex activity. But you're probably saying to yourself, wait a minute. If red is bearish and blue is bullish, would I not be well served to get short under that red backbone of the indicator set, or potentially long above that backbone of the indicator set? Well, sometimes. And that's the beauty of what we do, is we're able to teach you when it's sometime. And over time, you learn to be able to tell when it's sometime. Because sometime is not all the time. And that's really what makes the difference between being successful at this thing called trading and not. We had a couple tweets last night. I'll go through them real quick, then I'll pass this over to Michael so he can do the recap. On the tweets last night, we said ES on Globex, and this was put out at 12:21 a.m. Consider buying 11:33. No, that was Sunday night. That turned into a 26-point trade. Now let's go to last night. Here we go. Last night, Monday night. There it is, finally. ES, consider selling 11:55 stop or buying 11:67 stop, whichever presents first, going into the London Open. So the idea was to sell 11:55 on a stop. So what did that look like? Here's what that looked like. Selling 11:55 on a stop going into the London Open here. Okay, selling on a stop as it came down through it. Took us down to 11:40. So that was a good for about a 15-point move. Now the other part of that trade said, on the YM, consider selling 10.960 on a stop or buying 11.65 stop, again, whichever comes first. So the YM, we're going to consider selling 10.960. Let's go have a look at that. YM 10.960. It's going to be right there. And so from 10.960, you made it down to 10.840. So that was a 120-point move on the Dow overnight. So either one of those would have been nice. No one expects you to, you know, nail it to the tick at the bottom. That's a little tough. But if you can get any piece of a 120-point move on the YM, or if you can get any part of a 15-point decline on the ES, then you've done well. And then going back to the tweet that came out Sunday night, that was to buy 33 for an advance to 59. And as we can see, we did go from 33 to 59. So that was worth 26 points on the way up. Okay. Now, let me point out one last thing and then give this to Michael, because Mike Reed's actually going to come on and visit with us here in a bit. So I want to make sure everybody has time. Look at this chart this morning. Okay, price rallied nicely off those overnight lows. Here's the opening 30-minute candle, and then we get this. Big doji setting up here right over the weekly zone. This is on a 30-minute chart. We sold off. We pulled back into the blue MA1, and then it's just been a choppy struggle for the past hour and a half. Who's going to win here? Okay, two scenarios. We're going to close back up above the backbone, and we're going to challenge the high of this doji, or the backbone's going to roll over, turn red, hook below this zone, and then we're going back to test potentially the overnight lows and potentially that 33 number we used to get long against for the advance to 59. And so we'll keep an eye on this throughout the program today, and we'll see how that develops. All right, Michael, I've had a lot to say. It's your turn.
All right. Well, let me start by just grabbing the charts and saying those are great calls.
Thank you very much.
And for those of you who don't know, those of you who have not heard about those calls in the past, they are available on the website. If you go to the Twitter feed, you can get them there. Do you want to show them how to get them on the Twitter feed? Or
you go to twitter.com/CFRN. That takes you to our page. Now, if you want to have the feed coming to you, following to you, showing you up on your desktop, on your iPhone, your Android phone, your whatever kind of smartphone, then you need to have a Twitter account. Well, what does it require to have a Twitter account? It requires an email address. That's it. There's no cost, nothing. You just simply go to twitter.com, sign up, and then once you have a Twitter account, then you go to twitter.com/CFRN, and then you just say, you click the follow button. Okay. If I signed out, this is what it would look like if I went there. Now won't let me go there because I'm not signed in. Alright. So guys, you'll have to play with it on your own. It's pretty simple though, twitter.com, and you just get an account and then you go follow people. Okay. There's 267 people following us. We have 844 tweets so far. Now they're not all trades, okay? Sometimes I've been known to tweet stuff like, I couldn't find that. You'll find charts. Yeah, like here's the tweet from Sunday night, what that looked like right there. All right, so there you go, twitter.com. It's very easy. Our name on Twitter is CFRN. Could those be emailed to you? No, Rob, I'm not. Robert, no, I just tweet them. And anybody that's out there, I mean, you can just, you know, if you have a smartphone or whatever, then sign up for the Twitter feed. And you can have it push notifications to you, and so your phone will go ding if I tweet something. But I mean, it could be a picture of my wife using the wrong fork at dinner. That was one of the pictures I was trying to bring up the other night. She was halfway through her salad and goes, "Oh my God, I used the wrong fork." And I go, "Oh, that is so embarrassing. I'm going to tweet it." She goes, "No, you're not." And I go, "Yes, I am." And so I took a picture and I tweeted it. So there you go. Beware. All right. So, Michael, please go ahead.
All right. Let me grab the charts. There we go. Those of you who are in the morning session, you're going to see there was a little bit of a change here from the morning session results. Let me get the recording going before I go over it all. Okay. Here we go. The recording is going to start in 3, 2, 1. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Today is September 13th, Tuesday. 2011. Say that the other way. Today is Tuesday, September 13th, 2011. I just want to go over the trades that we took in the morning session, and actually I took two more trades after the morning session. The results for the morning session were actually plus one tick here and plus 10 ticks here. After the morning session, I took another trade here on the ES that lost, and I accidentally took a trade over here on the YM that went and hit my stop. When I was trying to bring my DOM up to the top by clicking on it when it was down below, and I hit buy market, and it bought market and stopped me out right away. My mistake again. But let's go over the actual trades. All right. The morning was pretty choppy, and the reason it was choppy is because the areas that we were on with the ES, we were either above them on the ES and below them on the YM, or below them on the YM and above them on the ES. And that made the market really choppy right around these areas here. All right, so we didn't have that many trades this morning. We'll scroll back to where we did trade, and I'll show you what we had. All right, now the market's opened up here at 9:30. We were waiting, but right in here we didn't have a trade on the short side, because we needed a lower swing pivot. I actually did accidentally take this trade and I got out at break even on it. I didn't mark it because it's not a valid trade setup. Moving up here, you can see we had an opportunity here because we had the bubble down here. We had an opportunity, but we had this zone right up above us, so we couldn't take that trade. It did work. We then had another bubble with another pullback. Again, it was inside the zone, so we didn't take that trade, and it worked. We had this trade over here that was above the zone. We had the bubble and the pullback. We did take this trade, okay? I think we got a point out of it before it pulled back. Then it moved up again, and we had a bubble again and a pullback to the BBC, and we did take this trade. Once it moved up to plus five ticks, I think I moved my stop up to plus one tick, and we got stopped out at plus one tick. That was the morning for us, okay? Hang on. Now, as the morning wore on, you see it was very, very choppy in here. There were a lot of things. You see how the green line was inside the box in here all this time? It was inside the box over there. It was inside the box in here and in there and in there. We couldn't take any trades while that was happening. So it kept us out of all of that chop, all right? Then we got over here to this spot. I took this trade, and this was a mistake, all right, because we didn't have a lower swing right here. So I took that, and I lost eight ticks on it. Now we put a lower swing pivot in here, and it pulled back up. We did enter there, and we took some profit on that trade. I think we took a point profit. Now moving along, we didn't take any of these trades right in here. I'm not sure why we didn't take this one. Oh, we didn't fill on this one. We tried to take this trade right here because we had the bubble, we had the lower swing, and it pulled up, but it didn't fill us. All right. Then we needed a new bubble to be able to take another bounce off of the BBC, but we never got it. All right. Everything flipped up, and we had the bubble, and we had the BBC, but it was going into the zone, so we didn't take that trade right there. Okay? This was inside the zone. Still didn't take it. Now over here, this is the trade that I took after the morning session. Now at this point right here, after the morning session, we were plus one tick. Alright? Then right here, we had an opportunity while Dwayne was talking a few minutes ago, and I went short right here, and it went right through my stop up here. Okay. Now we're back up here inside the zone, so we're not going to be able to trade anything up there. All right. Now the reason I took this trade is because we had the bubble and we had to pull back up to the BBC. All right. That was the morning on the ES, so that's got us minus seven ticks here on the ES. Okay. Right now we're at minus seven ticks on the ES. I did have one mistake over there for eight ticks, so we should be plus one tick on the ES. Over here on the YM, let me scroll back and I'll. The YM has been just like the ES this morning, really. It's been a mess to trade, and I was afraid that was going to be the case. And for some reason. Everything is... There we go.
Tell him why, Mikey. Tell him why you thought it was going to be a mess.
All right. I'll tell you why I thought it was going to be a mess to trade. You see how the ES is right at the zone right now? Right at this area right here? The YM right now... Hang on. Wait till the charts catch up here. There we go. The YM is below its zone. All right? So... If we get long trades here, the YM is going to be bumping into the zone as it moves up with the ES. And if we get short trades here, the ES is at the zone. So the markets are kind of working against each other just with the weekly trading zones where they are. It kind of suggests that you should probably just try to stay out of the markets for right now until price really strongly moves away from the weekly trading zones on both markets. Both of them away from the zones on the same side of the zone. All right. Now this morning, we had a pretty quiet morning here on the YM. I took one trade for 10 ticks profit. I'm trying to find that trade. Yeah, my charts are reacting very slowly here. Okay, let me just give them a minute to catch up. All right. You can see right now price on the ES is stuck right inside that area, that zone right there. So that's going to be tough. Let's see, this morning, I believe my first trade was right here. All right, I traded the pullback over here. I don't know why my... that's why. I had a second one. There it is. There's my first trade right here. This was my first trade right here, okay? So we traded this short over here on the close down below. We were looking for a down close after the bounce off the BBC here, and we got the nice down close right here, and we took 10 ticks out of that. All right. After that, the price moves strongly here on the YM, strongly up above this area. All right. So when it started to pull back down to it, I thought it was going to pull into this area, and we had this big bar right here. I wanted to wait until we had an up close before we went long. We never got the up close above the BBC in here. You see all this? So then it went short on us. Now over here, it pulled back up right here at 10:44. And everything was looking pretty short over here. But over here on the ES, at the same time, let's see, where were we? 10:44. See that? At the same time over here on the ES, we were above this area. So we were being very careful about our trades this morning because... If we bounce off of this, that's going to make this fail. So what I was looking for over here was a down close. A down close that gave us some room in between the close and the MA1 after this test of the BBC with this divergence. We didn't get that. So then what I was looking for was a down close below the MA1. And we did get that. But at this point, it was too far away from the MA1 to go short because I only used about 7 ticks risk on this. So what I had suggested was waiting until it pulls up to here to about 990 for that short opportunity. Okay, now when that happened, I was trading over here, so I didn't see it actually happen over here, but that's what I had suggested in the room this morning. You can see it did pull up to 992, and it dropped down 38 points. Actually, I think even a little better than that. 992, it dropped all the way down. Yeah, okay, this would have been 38 points. The immediate thing was 37, 38 points right here, the immediate drop. I didn't take that trade because I was trading on the ES at the time, I think, and I wasn't paying attention to it. But since then, you can see it's just been messy back and forth and back and forth in here. Now, I lost 7 ticks on here. We should be plus 10 ticks, but I lost 7 ticks when the thing was down here like that, and I clicked, you know, when it's behind it like that. And I clicked on the thing down here to try to get it to come to the front, and it actually entered me into an order. And so I lost 7 ticks on that. So I made 2 mistakes today. That's it. Yeah, we give it all here. The good, the bad, the ugly. And today, the 2 mistakes are pretty much what got us where we are right now. We should be plus about 1 point equivalent on the ES right now. And instead we're down about 2 points equivalent on the ES. All right. That's it. All said and done. The markets are still very choppy. As you can see right here, we're well down below the zone over here, but we're right in the middle of the zone over here. So once this gets up above the zone, if that's what it's going to do, once it gets up above the zone here, then I'll be really hesitant to take any long trades here, because this is going to be approaching the zone as this gets above the zone. So long trades over here could be hampered by this bouncing off the zone over here, and it's going to be choppy the rest of the day, it looks like. We have something coming out this afternoon, I think, a news event coming out this afternoon, but I'll get to that in a minute. So for right now, we are plus 3 ticks on the ES. I'm sorry, plus 3 ticks on the YM and minus 7 ticks on the ES. All right. If I hadn't taken those 2 trades from the morning session end at 11:30, we would be plus 1 on the ES and plus 10 on the YM. But it is what it is, and that is how it will be recorded. All right. Does anybody have any questions? Yeah, I know, Charles. I know. I'm over it. Charles told me to stop whining. We all make mistakes.
All right.
So that is it.
Okay, that thing you sent me over, I took care of that, but it says it might take 24 hours for it to show up in your navigation link.
Oh, okay.
But then it all might not. I'm fooling around with it. I'll send it over to you as quickly as I can so that I don't mess it up.
Okay, all right. It said something about administrator access, and I didn't know what the heck that meant, but now I do. You were the administrator. So
apparently
that's good.
I am.
And we get up to 3.
Yep.
It says so. So it'd be interesting to see how that works out.
All right. Okay, did Mike Reed make it in? He said he was going to come in today. Mike, are you there?
I don't know. Often we have to look for him out in the regular audience. No,
hey, if you're new and you're showing up here for the first time today, and
there he is.
Hi, boy.
Hey, Mike. How are you,
hey,
buddy?
Hey, Mike.
Don't let me interrupt, guys.
It's all right.
No. I wanted to make sure we got you on, and then I want to be able to bring David on here in a minute, because I know he wants to be able to chat with you as well. So, how are you?
Oh, I'm recovering. Kind of harder at home here than it was in the hospital. Don't know why. I think it's just medicine or something. But doing okay. Get my wheels back.
Yeah.
But everything looks well?
Yeah, the surgery went well. So far, so good. I'm just trying not to rush anything and end up with problems. I spent a lot of time trying to say, you know, get fixed. So Just taking it easy, I guess. They say you need a lot of rest after something like this, and done kind of the opposite, where instead of doing a lot of sleep, I can't stay awake. Get to 2 o'clock in the afternoon and I'm about to zonk out, but just doing fine, just kind of a little tired out from maybe overdoing it right off the get-go, but that's me.
Yeah, I can imagine you must want to get going.
Yeah.
Being in the hospital for any length of time is tough. Yeah.
I was set up in there too, and I wasn't going to stop really, but I just had the aftermath. I guess it didn't hit me it hit me more than I thought it would, I guess, and later than I thought it would. But anyhow, I'll be back to what goes for normal in 3 weeks. I still got some stuff running through my veins here at home, and I'm glad to get these lines out of my body and stuff. But anyhow, the markets have been really all over the place. Eh? I remember
they've been...
we were 11:33 up to 11:98 was that this week or last? Can't remember now. Mine is kind of foggy on these, but we had 11:98 for resistance. Was it Monday or last week? We ended up having a high right there. And I think since the last time we talked, I was in the hospitals when a high was made. And we had some trend down days, and then we had the employment number on Friday. And then yesterday was a Monday, you see. We had a low at support early off the open, and then a rally up to no man's land in my work. And then in the late afternoon, they didn't quite hit. They missed by about a point, the last support that I had. And then they reached 11:58, which was resistance in the work. Today's has been pretty choppy and easier to trade early now. Not so easy. Now they got some legs.
That's what I was noticing too, that it was going to be it seemed like it was going to be just a difficult day from the beginning. Yeah. You know, just where things were positioned between the markets, it seemed like it wasn't going to go well. Yeah, we managed to end the morning session profitable, and then I went and messed it up a little bit. But
trading, right, David or Michael?
Yeah,
done it before.
It is. It is.
Did you mean the mix of the markets weren't in sync? Is that what you?
Well,
meant
they were on opposite sides of zones.
I see.
And so as they converged toward the zone, one was given a long and one was given a short, and we couldn't do either one because the other one might force the other one the wrong way as it bounced off.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I can see that would mess things up.
Yeah.
You know, I like to see when, the NASDAQ and the ES in sync. They have a good trading environment most of the time, and when they're not, then it's a little bit... tosses things off a little bit.
Yeah, it looks like this is going to be the point right about here where we take the drop. That's just a little bit of a guess. Mike, I know David wants to say hi to you, so just sit tight, and we're going to go straight to him, all right? And you stay right there.
Okay, sure.
Yes. radio's on here.
Okay.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Hey, good morning, David. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Michael, and good morning, Michael.
Good morning, David.
Good morning, David.
Mike Reed, how are you?
I'm doing okay, David. I'm there. I'm here. I'm here and I'm there. Or one of the two.
It's
Well, you
so
sound
you're
really
back,
good
back
without
home.
All the beeping in the background and, you know, we could hear all that equipment before. You sound great, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the hospital connection was not the best, I don't think.
We noticed, but it was still fun to have you on and talk and listen to it all. So, so you're back and at home, and you've got your trading stuff there, and are you looking at markets or are you still kind of
sure.
trading?
Well, I'm doing both.
Okay. Fair enough.
I'm not in my office yet. That's my goal is to get back.
Yeah.
And spend the day in my office. So. Okay. Or at least most of the day, but that's a few months off, I think. And then I'll have a little party.
Well, that's probably well deserved.
Yeah, can't wait.
Makes it through the ordeal. Anybody who's been in a hospital knows, you know, how, and no matter what you're having done, it's just even visiting a hospital is hard on you, you know. Mm-hmm. Driving by a hospital is hard on some people.
Yeah.
So, anyway, have you had a chance to look at markets and...
I just have had a chance to
really
look at
the
charts, but not dig into my other work too much.
Yeah.
The internals, those indicators and stuff that pretty much are my daily guide. So I'm a little bit off of that, not having that stuff quite ready yet.
You know what I've noticed too, and maybe you've seen this, is that if you get away from the markets for even a relatively short period of time, maybe there's a 4-day weekend and you extend it and you're gone for 2 extra days for whatever reason, 6 or 7 days, you get back to the markets and you can definitely feel, at least I do, out of sync with the whole thing. It takes some time to sort of catch back up. There's little bits and pieces that are not all connected up like they are, you know, when you watch it day by day. Mm-hmm. And I've definitely noticed that if I'm away from the market, coming back, especially for some period of time, it's like, wow, what is all this about? Now, what do I do with this thing? Where do I buy this? I sell this? What do I do with this? It takes some time, I'm imagining.
Go out and hit off that tee.
Yeah, exactly. You take this here club and, it does take some time, and it doesn't take very much time, at least for me, I've noticed. It doesn't take very long to get out of sync with the market, where it takes me a little while to go, you know, like I say, you know, to come back and really say, how does this all work? What do we do here? How would I know to buy or all that. You probably have some of that as well.
Shaking the rust off. I was okay when I first went in to have this stuff down, and then so when I came home, a different ball game. I don't know why, but...
Yeah, no, I can believe it. The atmosphere, the different place that you're in, it just...
Yeah. I would think it would be better when I got back in my own environment here. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't that way, which is odd, but... Mm-hmm. That's the way it goes.
I've also noticed myself that if I drive to a different town, maybe Dwayne can speak to this because he sometimes gets around, but if I'm in a different room than I'm normally in, like a hotel room as an example, and I'm hooking up the computers and looking and stuff, I feel a little out of sync as well, just because my surroundings aren't the same.
Yeah,
so apparently,
it's weird. It doesn't even look like the same thing. It's like...
Yeah, it just I'm looking at it and I'm thinking this, you know, somehow I'm seeing it, but I'm not quite as comfortable. I wouldn't necessarily put the same position on. If I was in my office, I might put something different on. Yeah. There's something about your surroundings and you get all these little cues from things that are around you. And so I can imagine, you know, I don't know how long you were out, Mike, but, you know, it was long enough probably to feel that out of sync feeling.
Yeah, especially in your visual visual type trader, I guess. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's these things on the outside of my peripheral vision are, mm-hmm. one of those things over there.
Yeah, like I said before, if you see too many Filipinos in the periphery, it can change your whole trading strategy. I'm not sure what that is. But
yeah, laundry service is what.
Right. But, so.
Anyhow.
Well, it's nice to hear you back, and I'm glad for you that you're back in your home and you're, you know, at least in a place where, you know, that you know well and you have family.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that.
Of course.
So, yeah.
You want to comment on the markets, or?
Oh boy, let's see. How about next week? I come up with something. right now, I.
No problem.
I didn't like it under 1160, mm-hmm. but now that they've pushed over that and are holding that, to change my opinion for now anyway. Mm-hmm. But I'm not in a trade. I had a couple early trades in, haven't done anything here for a bit.
Oh, so you are trading?
Oh yeah.
You really got back to it.
Not for long periods, but
I do
some, you know, more scalps than longer term trades, so what I call scalps, but
yeah.
Not in for, you know, much more than 5 or 10 minutes on most trades.
Yeah.
Or especially in this type of.
I'm going to go ahead and call you a scalper.
That's a scalper. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I don't want to trade with under a normal market condition to have a really wide stop, you know, really wide target. Because those, for me, those types of days are not as common as, you know, where you get your 2 or 3 point gain or. Mm-hmm. And risk a smaller amount and mm-hmm. do that several times and make your day a bit just easier for me, I guess, and mm-hmm. psychologically and the way I trade. So.
Mm-hmm. No, I think there's no doubt that it's easier to, for most people, it's probably easier to hold on to a short-term position and be in and out quick than it is to hold on for longer-term gains. I certainly have found that to be the case for myself.
Well, Mike, in your book, you write that for you, every trade starts off as a scalp, and you have the talent and the ability to enter with that mindset and take immediate profits if that's what's available and what seems appropriate. But you have the skill set that allows you to take what began as a scalp, and if it's developing properly, to in fact hold it for a much larger gain. And I think that's a rare skill set, because most of us, we either have a fixed target in mind, I'm going from here to here, boy, and if I can get out, you know, by the skin of my teeth there, whew, I'm happy and I'm done. Other people have a larger target, and the market throws them these little softballs, these little opportunities all along the way, and often they don't get to that longer-term target, and that becomes a sense of frustration unto itself. And so you have mastered being able to go whichever way the market dictates, and I think that I really admire that.
Thanks, Wayne. It's just... but the part is that I can scale out in parts, and then you can, and especially if you have a good turn early in the day from an area that you can easier to hold. For me, for a trade like that, if you catch something early in the morning and you can leg out at like a predetermined target on 1/3 and then, say a support or resistance area, at a second spot, and then have one for a runner. They call it runner or whatever. There's some other names for it, but they hang on for that with still good trading management, not just willing to give all the way back, but maybe give it more room for profit potential, letting it run a little bit more and not give it all back in the process, but by that time, it should be, if you still have partial position on it, you should be, if you're going to be in it, you should be pretty well in the money, before you start looking to, at least for me then to, well, before at least really into the day, if I don't have a reason to be in overnight, to be hitting the exit on that before things close.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
It doesn't happen every day that you get that kind of opportunity, but when they do, then it's, that's the way to, for me, and then either that or just you can then add on retracements if you exit your whole position to re-enter it then and trade it as a new trade with mm-hmm. a new scale out type.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's harder to, it's easier to see than to.
To say, right.
To say, yeah.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of little things that happen in trading that only happen under a particular set of conditions for a particular trader, and often it's hard for that trader to verbalize the why, the when, and the how that would under the why. You know, some people, they've been doing this for so long, they can't really explain anymore why they do what they do. They're in the game. It's like trying to describe how you ride a bicycle. At some point, you just are doing it, and it's very difficult. It's such a complete motion. It's hard to break it down and really tell people all the little ifs, ands, and buts about what you're doing, because it's become this one whole motion that you're doing that's difficult to put into pieces. Where early on, it's very difficult to put it into pieces, because that's what it is for you. It's a bunch of individual pieces. Later, it becomes much more like a whole motion. And it really does. It's not a cop-out, or if you want to use that phrase, for somebody to say, you know, I really can't explain that well, why I do what I do, or why I get in and out here and there. There's just a lot of little things, depending on the style of the trader. But certainly the more active traders, I think this becomes true of, the intraday traders, short-term traders. This definitely is something that happens to them, is that they get into sort of a flow, into a rhythm. They know what they're looking for. They know a lot of little bits and pieces about the market. And before you know it, they are having trouble describing what it is they do exactly. And some people can be very good at even writing books about the markets, but still can't really describe in great detail what they do in the market, because every day the market's a little different. Certainly it goes up and down, but every day it's a little different. And people find themselves at a particular skill level, unable to necessarily describe to others fully what it is that they're doing. I've known people like that. Our friend Michael, this is the third Michael, you know, we got, you know, all the Michaels, who the big trader, he is such a guy. He can verbalize to a very certain extent what he's doing, but he really cannot verbalize. It's very difficult to verbalize when you see how fast he's in and out and all the different things he's doing. Those things are not verbalizable for him. You know, is there such a word? I never quite got through high school, so I'm just going to go ahead and use the word verbalizable. And I think he's had trouble describing to me what he's doing, because, and I'm pretty pinpointed about it. I will pin him down. But it's difficult for him to put it into words, because it's become such a whole for him, such a, you know, whole, the whole thing. It's hard to put it into pieces. So I can appreciate where you're coming from with that.
Yeah, he must be dialed in pretty well.
Yeah, he's been doing it for a long time, and he's very good at news trading. That's his, I think, if for me, that's his specialty.
Wow.
Trading off of news and being able to really throw down hard on news, trade that trend, trade that move. So I've seen him do it. So.
That's hard for me. I'm chicken.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, but I just.
No, I know what you mean.
That's
though.
Not my best environment for me. Maybe the aftermath, maybe, but not.
Yeah, some people just are as comfortable, I think, with the news as you and I, Michael, and the other Michael, and then Dwayne. Dwayne's the only one that's not named Michael, at least of the people that I'm talking about. Anyway, we all have a different way of doing it, and news trading is its own thing. Some people are very good at it. I never knew that until I saw Michael doing it. You know, my Michael. I don't know how to. You know, we got so many Michaels there. Just take any of them, whichever one you want. But yeah, he's as comfortable with that as he is with technical trading. I am, on the other hand, for me personally, I'm not at all comfortable in the slightest trading off of news. It means nothing to me. I know that a report's coming out. I know that somebody's going to say something big and important, but I couldn't describe how meaningless it is. It's absolutely at zero. It has no meaning to me at all because I don't know what to do with it. I don't know how to take that information and convert it into a high confidence trade. And the only thing that makes sense to me is the technicals. That's just how I got to where I am, is through pure technical. But I have seen really good traders blend technical and news together. So I know that there's another dimension that you can add to trading where you really do understand the news and the likely implications. You know, I've said this on the program so many times, I'll say it again. I think there's just as much or more mystery in trying to figure out what a piece of news is going to do to a market than there is in trying to trade technically off of what the market is doing on the chart. Just as much or more mystery in trading off of the news. It seems closer and more intuitive because it's an act that took place. It's a fact. There's something you can understand. You can say, boy, that'd be strong, or that would make the market want to go up. There's all kinds of things you can do with it. But in the end, if you try to trade off of news, you'll probably find that it's just as difficult to trade off of the news as it is the technicals. So take your pick or mix the two of them up. The church of trading will hold all of us, the news traders, the technical traders, you know, the new age traders, all of that. We can all go to the same church, and Dwayne will be the pastor. Pastor Dwayne presiding. That was a little joke for Dwayne there. If he was anywhere near the radio, he would have laughed. See. Oh, yeah, there he is.
I laughed. Everybody seems to be able to hear me but you, David.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on. We may have to call customer support or something.
See, if I was doing what you do with what you used to do when you were really on the ball with the music, I would have just put on What's Going On by Marvin Gaye. Because you just said that. But you're slipping a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah. Age.
Age, yeah. Anyway, do you want to talk? Radio. What's that?
New Age Radio. Oh.
Yeah, New Age Radio. Yeah, that's good. Dwayne's new age is about 63. That's the kind of new age he is.
I don't know.
All right, Michael, I know that you said you had wanted in your email that you wanted to just kind of pop in, say hi, keep it short today. So, you know, we don't want to tie you up and wear you out because I know you still got some trading to do. You're welcome to hang with us as long as you feel like it. I just don't want you to feel obligated.
Okay, thanks. Guys, I think I'm going to cut out. What is today, Tuesday?
Tuesday.
And it is a regular week, so if I don't get discombobulated, I'll be back here by Wednesday at least, I hope.
Okay. Nice to hear from you. I'm glad you're back home. I'm glad you made it through it, Michael.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, guys. Yeah. Wayne, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Glad to have you home. Glad to have you on the upswing.
Okay. Thanks again.
See you
guys soon. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Well, that was nice. This is a fellow who has been through a lot and in his life, and he has dedicated himself to trading, and he's produced work in trading. He's written a book about trading. He runs a website about trading, and he's a great example of somebody who's got a very powerful drive and has put that drive to work in spite of very, very powerful odds against him. And so not everybody knows about, you know, what he's been through, but I can tell you from my understanding of it that, it warms your heart to see somebody put out like he does and continue to show the drive and the interest in spite of, issues that he has to deal with that are substantial. So.
Indeed. Well, there's a question here from Patrick. We'll cover that, then we'll get right into the markets here. Patrick asks, if you look at different instruments, such as the ES and the YM, and, oh, say, the current December ES contract compared to the September ES contract, they seem to trade in tandem, meaning they go up and down together. How can they be so correlated with so many different traders, floor traders, institutions, etc., trading varying numbers of contracts at different times? Now, there's two different questions in there. One being is that you've compared the September ES contract to the December ES contract, and the fact is the September contract will expire and you'll no longer be able to trade that. Now, if you're referring in addition, or perhaps what your real focus was, is how is it that the YM and the ES seem to move in tandem no matter what month you're in, September, December? That is just the way the markets trade. I've been trading futures now since 05, and at the end of the day, if you take an hourly chart or a 30-minute chart, or if you take a daily or weekly chart of the S&P and the YM, and they are scaled the same, if you lay one on top of the other, if you do an overlay, they are in fact almost identical. Why that is, I don't know that I can give you a good answer as to the why. I can just affirm that in fact that is the way it is, but David might be able to shed some light on that for you.
The traders just run them up and down to the various numbers. They're doing it all from the pits, you know.
Oh, come on.
They control the market.
Give the guy a legitimate answer.
No, I'm going to, of course, give him a legitimate answer.
I know you will.
It is interesting, isn't it, that the markets do indeed do that. The floor traders, people in the pits, and people who watch the markets see and are watching many other markets, and many, many people relate markets together. I'm not necessarily saying this is the reason, but the fact is that many people are watching many markets, and many of them will make trading decisions based upon what other markets are doing. As an example, if the bonds are going up for a long time, the bonds and the S&P were, I mean, when I started trading, they were the whole business of the market was if bonds were up, the S&P was down. If S&P was up, bonds were down. IBM, so goes the market. If IBM was up, the market would go up. So there's a lot of people who are looking at the bigger picture, which is a number of different markets, and they're making trading decisions on a number of different markets moving either in tandem or, you know, some of the people that we speak to, I'll say something like, you know, we'll put out a roadmap, let's just say, for people that are new, it's a forecast, it's kind of a highly specific forecast for what the market's going to do. And they'll take that information, and while they're on the phone with us, I'll hear them saying to themselves something like, okay, so bonds would go up. Let's say we're forecasting bonds go up. The bonds would go up. That means the S&P goes down. That means the dollar does this. That means the euro does this. They'll go through like 9 conversions of what the forecast is in order to sort of set the table in front of themselves of what the world would look like if that forecast came true, because they're thinking in multi-market mm-hmm. terms. They're not thinking in terms of one market like so many of us do. They're thinking in multi-markets. And so in order for them to accept a forecast sometimes, it's difficult because that would mean that certain other markets in their, you know, so to speak, model would have to change in a way that they might not expect it to or something. Or sometimes it goes, fits right in with what they're looking for. Well, that would mean gold would go through the roof and the euro would drop and the S&P would do this. And it's almost amusing to hear them lay it all out because this is how they think. Now, what was the fellow who asked the question? What was his name?
That would have been Patrick.
Patrick, okay. Hi, Patrick. With regard to the same markets, or roughly the same markets, trading in tandem, it's common. I'm not sure that I can give you an exact reason why that would be. The markets, you know, there's a lot of mysteries. I don't mean to make it a mystery, but there's a lot of mysteries about what the markets do and why they do what they do. And it's been a subject for me even since the beginning. When I first saw markets, they appear to me to be doing something very purposeful. That, you know, I've been through this before where it looked like they were purposely doing something. It struck me that way. And because of that, I spent the rest of my next 20 years trying to understand if that was the case, that there was purposeful movement in markets and that they really were achieving something, satisfying something, completing something, a task, so to speak, a price level that they have to reach. So yeah, there's quite a bit of mysteries. Welcome to the mysteries of the market. And no matter what answers we give you, I'm not sure that they would be any better than anybody else's answer as to why all that happens. People can come up with all kinds of very good sounding reasons that can just be plain old wrong, but they sound really good. And even in our work, I come up with my very best explanation for what I'm seeing, but it's likely that it's not correct. It's likely that I'm just simply looking at a particular viewpoint, and I'm coming up again with my very best interpretation of what I'm seeing. But it doesn't mean that my interpretation is correct. I may be able to correctly forecast, but it doesn't necessarily mean that I understand fully what really is going on in the markets. And I've seen this time and time again with the markets, with my own explanations and with others' explanations. So your simple and innocent question really is a big question for me. It's a much, much bigger question, and I will say this, and I'll say it about everything else in life. There's a lot of mystery around even the simplest of things, and for on a certain level, it can be very well explained away, and then later we find out, well, wait a minute, there's another thing, and now we have to go to a new level to explain how that new little insight would fit in with the old, and then before you know it, you're down, you know, you're in subatomic particle theory at some point, you know, because it really is all connected. So there's many levels to everything. I think the simplest answer would be that they tend to run together because they tend to run together. And we could go from there. But I will tell you also that having a reason in your mind won't necessarily hurt or help your trading. I think in general, you know, we're looking for a very high probability that something's going to happen in the markets, or a reasonably high probability, and that's all we need. If a reason like that helps you to have the confidence to take that high probability trade, then that's helpful. But that reason is secondary to the actual study of the market and the finding of the high probability trade. The high probability trade has to be something that you learn on your own or with the help of others, and all of us have had the help of others. Nobody is working at this from an island viewpoint. We're all looking at the same markets. We've all read a lot of the same books. We've been to courses. We've all done so many things to try to help improve our trading. And one of the things that I think a lot of people have found is that many courses have done, books may have not done anywhere near what they wanted them to do for them. But in that, there's even a great deal of advantage, because you've learned, I know this sounds cliche, but you've learned a lot about what doesn't work in the markets, rather than just throw away and say, well, that thing didn't work for me. You know, I spent $195 on this book, or I bought this system. There's quite a bit you can learn about what doesn't work in the markets. And again, rather than just simply throwing away an idea, sometimes hidden in a system, that may not work as a whole, there may be some small idea that the guy presented in there that actually is very usable, or it's a little piece that you could plug into something else. So don't be too quick to throw away, you know, everything that hasn't worked for you, because there are often things that can be very useful. A good example of such a approach is, again, we've talked about this in the last several sessions, not because we're Elliott Wave people, but Elliott Wave is an enormously subjective technique in the markets. It's so subjective that I would place it at the top of the list of subjective market techniques. It's completely subjective, to be factual. Even though it's based upon five waves up and three waves down, the definition of those waves, the interpretation of those waves, the ability to see those waves is entirely subjective. And anybody who's been in that field of Elliott Wave knows that you could take two of the best Elliott Wave guys you know, and they're both going to have different Elliott Wave counts. In every case, in every single case. Take three of them, and now you've got a real party going on. As soon as you get up to four or five of them, it's, you know, you might as well not even call it Elliott Wave anymore. So having said that, in spite of the fact that that's the case, some people have discovered that the fourth wave pullback in Elliott Wave is one of the key things that you really can read pretty well. And so there are some software programs out there that attempt to manage Elliott Wave in that way, where they're not too concerned with all the other things that happen, but they're taking that one thing out of it that actually is usable, that fourth waves, as an example, can be traded much more effectively into a fifth wave advance than, as an example, a second wave pullback can be traded into a wave three or any number of other setups in that particular Elliott wave count. So here we have this enormously subjective tool, and yet people have gone in and found that there, here's a little good thing right here. Hey, I like this. This is good. We can do this fourth wave pullback. We do this, 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 and now we can buy it. So that's a really, really good example for me of a technique that's enormously subjective. At the very top of my list, the most subjective market technique ever created by man. And yet within that, there was still something really good, because most people would throw it away and say, I just can't do it, or they like to count waves, but they can't trade them. Listen, if you can't trade them, it's practically useless. That's what the purpose of all this is to actually find a high probability trade in the market. And within all that, some software programs have found, again, that they can use a fourth wave pullback as a buying level, and it makes it much, much better to take that little piece out of Elliott Wave and plug that into perhaps your already existing system, which may be, luckily for you, dramatically less subjective. And, you know, subjectivity means that you see it a particular way, and another person sees it a different way. And why is that bad? It's bad because trader number A may subjectively see it this way, and he may be able to trade it. But trader B can't learn it from him, because even when trader A tries to teach him that, the market's always showing you something new, and now how are you going to interpret this new thing now under what the guy just taught you? It becomes very difficult to transfer that ability to do subjective wave counting. So subjective techniques are, you know, less valuable in trading the markets, and objective techniques, techniques which can be taught, which do have fixed rules, and which when the market makes moves can be seen time and time again, that's a much cleaner and more effective way to trade in the markets. So don't feel too bad about, you know, having been through a lot of books. I've done it. Not everybody I know has done it. And I've learned over the years that I learned a lot of what didn't work, and that was valuable in itself. In a way, you're kind of turning lemons into lemonade, which all it takes is some sugar, some water, and a glass. That's just
that's
a
all it takes.
Humor there.
That's all it takes.
That's all it takes. I do want to mention, having spoken about these techniques, that Dwayne, I don't know if you knew this, but we have our final Reflected Wave seminar, which is going to be here in Las Vegas on November 12th and November 13th at the Mirage Hotel. And tomorrow we're having a webinar on Reflected Wave. So people can come to our trading blog, and they can click on the link. We sent an email out as well to everyone, and if you're on our emailing list, if you're getting our newsletter or whatever, and we'd like to have you come and just take a look at what Reflected Wave can do. This is the technique that recently called for the top in the September Euro that just had the 800 point or 800 pip decline, and so we're going to do that tomorrow. It's at 1:30 Pacific time, 3:30 Central time, 4:30 Eastern time. Whatever time zone you're in, it's 15 minutes after the S&P 500 closes. And so traders can go to our blog page, and they can click on the link to get – I'm just going to double-check and make sure that's the case. The traders can go to our blog page, click on the link for the upcoming webinar. Traders blog on our website. Okay, so that's good if you have an interest in that. And that, again, is November 12th and 13th. So we did have a number of people who were unable to come to the last webinar or seminar at the Mirage Hotel. So we've opened this one up, and hopefully, you know, I know it's near the end of the year,
Did you just did you just decide to do this, like, since yesterday?
We decided to do it on Friday.
Did you? Okay, because I maybe you mentioned it yesterday and it went right over my head.
No, actually, I didn't mention it. But we sent out an email, and maybe you didn't receive the email, and it's fine. Because I know you're very good at mentioning it. If we do send it out, you're very good at mentioning it.
Yeah,
so.
No, I. Well, you know what? I may have got it and just not read it.
Yeah, no, fair enough. So if you do have an interest in that, come tomorrow it'll be on a GoToMeeting type of thing. The link is on our website. And we're going to talk about a number of different setups that have occurred recently in Reflected Wave, which can be used for very short-term, medium-term, or long-term trading. It's also called the quarterly top, which caused this huge decline in the S&P. We forecast that quarterly top back in October on this radio program of last year. The whole forecast was for a top in the first quarter of this year, and then a decline from which the market would make no new highs for the remainder of the year. The top came one quarter late in the second quarter, but still closed below the first quarter's high. Which is a good sign, by the way, that it did that. And then we've had this big, big decline that we're still technically inside right now. So that these are longer-term indications, like the euro for the weekly, the quarterly there, but it goes all the way down to 5 and 15 and 1-minute charts. And you can utilize this in a number of different ways in your trading. It is objective. Your turning points will be no better or worse than mine. And no matter how long I've been looking at the markets, mine will be no better than yours because it is completely objective. And that's a very, very beneficial thing about a trading approach. It's not a trading system per se. It is a methodology that shows you when and where market tops and bottoms are going to be occurring in the market and tells you in advance whether they're going to be a top or a bottom. So it's, you know, highly useful. And I've used it hundreds of times on this radio program to make all kinds of forecasts over the last 6 years. So I'm out there with Dwayne every day, usually making some kind of a market call for a top or a bottom at some point in time, utilizing Reflected Wave. So we've made hundreds and hundreds of examples of it. And if you're new, you can stay on the program and listen to it and you know, take some of the trades or just watch them occur. It's based on actually a very profound principle which occurs inside of markets. It's more than I want to go into right now, but we will talk about the principle in tomorrow's webinar. So okay. If you're interested just to listen, you know, there's no obligation. You don't have to pay for anything. You just have to just come and listen and relax and enjoy it and see if it's something that might be interesting to you. We have a few months out yet before that webinar or that seminar gets started. So you have time to think about it. You can always call up and ask questions about it as well. But either way, I'll continue to demonstrate Reflected Wave on live radio and make live market calls for you to show you that it really can be done and these things can be put to use in your trading. I try to blend Reflected Wave in with other things sometimes, and sometimes I just use Reflected Wave entirely on its own, like we did with the you know, the quarterly top that happened in the S&P and a lot of the recent daily tops and bottoms. As an example, a bunch of the tops and bottoms that we had called, the August 26th bottom for the advance up to 1223, which occurred on August 31st, the August 31st top, the call for the top on September 8th that just occurred, that where we had this big decline down, a number of turning points. Another one going back, a Reflected Wave top that we had called was August 16th/17th. That was a top that was made we had forecast a sizable 50-point-plus decline in that. So all of these are daily turning points. One of the great things about knowing what the longer term is doing, and a lot of day traders miss this, is that that tells you what the direction of the trend is going to be. So mostly all surprises are going to be in the direction of the new trend. So as an example, if the market's making a top on August 17th, and you know that, the vast majority of your trades from this point forward would want to be on the short side of the market because the market's putting in a top. Mm-hmm. Now, a daily top means that the market wants to go down for a number of days. That means there's an awful lot of little pullbacks and things that are going to occur that allow you to sell short, or you can just sell the silly thing and be short and take advantage of the power being pushing the market down from a larger time frame, the daily chart in this case. and you can hold on to short positions to specific targets, or you can trade to reflected wave bottoms. All kinds of very, very easy things to do with that information. So even though I am a day trader, and I play one on TV, I also am a longer-term trader as well. The fact is that in every trade that I take, I always want to know absolutely that there's some reason the market is going to go in the direction that I'm trading. I need to know that, the same way that some people need to know what the news is, so they can say, wow, you know, the Fed chairman just said this, and that means the market's going up. But for me, I need to know that there is a longer-term time frame that has directed the market to go in a particular direction, so that I can then get in on shorter-term time frames and trade in that direction. That's one of the reasons that you can be very consistent, because your trading is now being based upon something very real. And that real thing is that a turning point has in fact occurred. And that turning point is going to direct the market into a new direction, and you're going to be trading in that direction. In a great percentage of the cases, all surprises, market surprises, price movement surprises, are going to be in the direction of that new trend. So I want to be trading in that direction. And if I could count the number of times, I can't, that I've been in the market and the surprise news, the surprise something came out, and suddenly the market had a big move, if I'm doing what I'm telling you, I'm in the right direction. I'm in on that right move. The market gaps up X number of points, or, you know, has a fast run from here to there, surprisingly fast move. All that happens because I was trading in the direction of the larger trend. So far from being subjective, and even if you're not a reflected wave student, you can understand the principle that I'm working with here that allows anybody who's using this technique or any other type of technique to trade in the direction of the larger trend once you understand what that is and can be confident in that. That's one of the things that reflected wave does, is it gives you a great deal of confidence that something important is happening even before most other systems will identify that a turn is underway. If you want to be aggressive, you can get in earlier and actually trade what I would consider to be more aggressively, but therefore get in closer to the actual price high and be in for a good portion of that move down. Recently, if you want to switch over, Dwayne, let's switch over to the euro.
Day tripper, that's the closest you're good. I could come out.
That's
to
close enough, Dwayne. No, I give you all the props for that. That was very good.
All right, what do you want to go to, the euro?
You see, you haven't lost it. No. I was concerned about you, but I'm that alone sold me.
All right.
Go to the euro.
Okay, euro. And according to Bert, we are still in September.
We are still in September. I was just going to show this as an example of, you can see a lot of choppy behavior on a weekly chart. If you, put up
weekly?
A weekly chart. It doesn't have to be, but you can see an awful lot of choppy
daily,
behavior.
We can go to weekly.
That had begun moving back and forth over the last 12 to 15 weeks. And yet reflected wave ignored all of those except the August 22nd top, which occurred. And the August 22nd top is the last little green bar before the big decline that just happened. And the actual high came 1 week late, which was the week of August 29th. And we prefer that, by the way. We actually want to see 1 week late turning points because the market tends to get underway very quickly after those. And I've told people, for people who've been on this program, they've heard me say that for a long time. And this is another one of many, many examples that I've demonstrated, the 1 week late, the 1 unit late, the 1 hour late turning point. And it really puts the market down the train tracks quickly. So this is a great example of all of these turning points, all these back and forths were ignored except for that last one that turned the market down here. And everyone who has reflected wave would have understood exactly where that turn was and why the market needed to go down. I also mentioned just recently that we're putting in this week, the week of September 12th, is also a bottom in this very same market, in the euro, in the September euro. Now, when we switch over to December, it may be a different, but I think it's probably not going to be. It'll probably be the same. We're still looking at September as well. So come to the webinar, and we'll talk more about it. If you just have an interest, just take a few minutes and listen to it, and I'll explain more about the very interesting principle that works behind reflected wave and why it is as good as it is. I don't believe there's any other technique available published in the last 100 years, which is a long time. There's been quite a bit published that can do what reflected wave does. And in doing so, reflected wave is not an extension of any other published turning point methodology out there. That includes Fibonacci, GAN, Elliott wave, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. On and on and on. Including, I could keep doing that, and you'd probably think there's something wrong with me. But I'm trying to make the point that it covers, it's a completely different way of determining turning points. It's a completely different approach to finding where the market's going to turn and knowing whether it's going to be a top or a bottom in advance. So I use it in my trading. I would not trade without it. And for those of you who've been following the program for any period of time or a long enough period of time, you've heard us make the turning point calls on the radio and make forecasts with it time and time and time and time again. And I'm very conservative with my use of it. Other people can be much more aggressive with it. Somewhere inside of me, and I'm not sure where it came from, but I want to, I want to feel completely affectionate and right about a particular trade setup. I want to be like a kid in a candy store. I want to be at the point where there's no doubt in my mind. And the market doesn't give you that every day, you know, every hour or whatever. Sometimes, you know, it takes more time to set that type of sort of Mona Lisa trade up. And yet I've made a, you know, so-called career out of doing Mona Lisa types of trades because I found that I can accumulate points faster by doing that than I can by taking lots of trades, although there are plenty of systems out, well, I won't say plenty, but there's a few systems out there that can do a lot of trades and do well at it. And but for me, I kind of like the setups where everything is lining up perfectly and there's a lot of things going on. And this Euro trade was one such example, one of many, but this is the largest forecast that we've made, one of the largest forecasts that we've made using reflected wave. So, okay, so let's go back real quick, Dwayne, and let's take a quick look at the S&P, and we'll talk a little bit about this today as well.
Okay, here's hourly without Globex.
Yeah, you can. If you would put up hourly without Globex, that would be fine, or any time frame you want to.
That's what's hourly without Globex. That's what's up right now.
Okay. The S&P, a lot of people are afraid of the S&P because the S&P has unusual, or for them maybe unusual movements, or very choppy movements. But there's enough in the S&P that is really good that makes it a wonderful trader's market. If you try to trade everything that happens in the S&P, you'll find out why most people are afraid of the S&P. Because in trying to trade everything, you'll find that it does have a lot of, you know, there's 500 individual stocks that make up the S&P 500. Each one of those stocks is doing its own thing on a particular day. There's quite a bit of cross currents going on in this market. And yes, they're all technical, they're all can be read, but what is your knowledge? You know, what is your skill set? And if your skill set is anything like mine, you know, it's limited. You have a limited skill set. You have a limited way of looking at the markets. And as I've mentioned before, complete information is never possible in any circumstance about anything, period. So we're never going to know everything about anything. So we have to go with the best that we know. And in many cases, the best might leave us just with a few trades a day, or in some cases, no trades in a particular day. It just depends. But if you try to trade everything, then you can run into more trouble with this market. But in certain conditions, this market will give you a number of trades. Dwayne's system will give you a number of trades in a particular day, sometimes if it's trending in one direction, et cetera. But even in their case, they won't necessarily take all of those trades because the S&P can be tricky and any market can be tricky. But the S&P has, you know, there's a lot of interest in this market, but at the same time, there's a lot of people who have foolishly and in many cases unnecessarily just thrown away their money, you know, chasing this market. It does have some really good qualities to it, one of which is that it works very well with techniques like reflected wave. It also has, it's very well represented in all three of its areas, you know, in volume, in price movement, and in how it responds to its own internally generated time cycles. So it's a very good market. It's a very high quality market. The euro is a very high quality market. Soybeans is a very high quality market. Each one of these markets has their own little thing that they have, a little thing that they do, a characteristic, a personality trait. They all go up and down, but they do it differently. It's almost in some ways like, you know, I think I heard somebody once describe it as like the floor of the ocean, where waves go over that floor of the ocean at a particular beach. That floor is going to determine something about the movement of those waves, because the floor is shaped differently and has different rock formations, etc. So the waves that move over that particular beach have a characteristic to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they're water. Yes, they move back and forth and up and down, but they do it in a kind of a characteristic way because of what they're doing it on. The lay of the land, all of that plays a part. And so in some ways, there's something similar like that going on in markets. The cotton market, as an example, has a different lay of the land that those waves are splashing over, and it has certain characteristics. And I know that a number of people who've listened to this program have seen enough about market movement, have watched enough markets, to know that markets really do have personality traits or characteristics that appear differently in one market than in another. So the S&P has certain characteristics that I happen to like, and I think a lot of people understand and like, one of which is that it has kind of choppy behavior. It's relatively choppy. It's not a really good trending market for the most part. That choppy behavior, though, is very useful in a number of different types of techniques, and it also is very useful for setting up trades. The S&P does break out and does have fast runs to particular price levels, etc., just like all markets do, but I would say that a market like soybeans is much better at trending in one direction for some period of time than the S&P is. So if I am going to trade in soybeans, I will trade for larger swings, because the characteristic of that market is that it's much easier for that market to trade in one direction for a longer period of time than it is for the S&P with its particular lay of the land. And one of those things is that it has 500 different cross currents potentially working against it, or working for it, for that matter. So I started out basically with the S&P, like many people did, and I fell in love with the market. And other markets, I fell so in love with the S&P that in trading other markets, they looked like alien markets to me. I couldn't understand their movement. I couldn't catch what they were doing. They just didn't look the same. And I think a lot of people have probably felt that way. Some people now, the newer traders that are now starting in the currencies, they're picking up all the nuance from the currencies, and then you show them the S&P and they don't like it because it doesn't trade anything like currencies do. So each of these markets, you know, you kind of can find in every one of these markets certain characteristics that, you know, may suit you better than another market. And you don't have to fight with the ones that don't suit you. Just trade the ones that do suit you. You know, don't make life any more miserable. Don't torture yourself, Gomez. That's my job. That's from the Addams Family, for those of you old enough to remember that program. If Dwayne was really on the ball, he'd cue up some Addams Family music.
Yeah, I'm not that on the ball.
He's not at that on the ball,
I'm
though.
Not that on the ball.
It's asking a little much.
Do.
So let's see. Having said all that, let's take a quick look at today, and if there's any indications for today. There are a few indications for today. It's very quiet here, and I don't want to make this an absolute. This is not an outright forecast for today, but if in today's sixth hour, which we're currently in the fifth hour right now, we just started it a few minutes ago.
Gee, that's loud.
That was good.
That was very loud.
Yeah.
Carolyn Jones, that was her name, Patricia. John Austin. All right.
That is beautiful. I kind of always had a thing for her. She was kind of early goth,
Very exotic.
Very exotic. Anyway, she used to always say to Gomez, "Don't torture yourself, Gomez. That's my job." I always thought that was very funny. So let's talk about today's market. This is not an outright forecast, so don't take this as a trade necessarily to these levels. But today is trading very quietly. This indication is not a direct forecast, but if the market were to go up and test 1168 to 69 in today's sixth hour, then that would then potentially put together a trade for us for a reversal off of that point. Now, the reason why I'm not forecasting it to go up there is because even though that is a natural time period slash price point in our work, it is from a it's not as tight as it normally would be. Tight is a I don't have the word, I don't know what the word would be, but the setup isn't as cohesive, I don't know what the word is, as normal. So it would be, I wouldn't trade up to that number, but if they did do that number in today's sixth hour, plus or minus 1 hour, that's 68 or 69, I would be interested in trading on the reversal off of that. We did trade the reversal this morning off of when they reached up and we're testing the 68 level, 67 level. We traded short from 66 today down about 5 or 6 points and had a nice trade on the downside off of that reversal. That was a reflected wave top. That's what got us into that trade. So that trade was based entirely off of reflected wave with the addition of our support and resistance panel, which indicated that those price levels would be important in today's session. As a matter of fact, in our support and resistance panel, the highest level for today is 1169/71, and today's highest price has been 1168 so far. So we came very close to the highest price that we would expect in today's session, and so that tied in with a reflected wave top, made for a very easy trade early in the session. Now, the market's gotten very quiet, and this is some of those days, you know, you just don't have a trade because the market's very quiet, and that may be the case today. And then late today, if we do get a confirmation, which would mean that if the market did go up and do 68 again, we're trading at 63.75 right now. This is the December contract. Then we would be interested in potentially trading on the short side late in the session. But until they do that, because the market is so quiet, I'm just letting you know that that's something you can take a look at and see if your own system, or if you utilize Dwayne's stuff for you know, getting in on the short side, that might be a point for you to consider once they have done it. You know, a lot of times I like to trade both into and out of these cycles. In this particular case, I'm going to leave the trading into it alone, but I would trade out of it, meaning from that point, sixth hour or 68 in the sixth hour, forward. So there might be a nice trade a little bit later today. That's kind of like the natural level for the market, even though the setup for this is not quite, there's more plus or minus in it than there normally would be because of certain factors. So I won't go into, of course, onto all the details. But that's about the only thing with today's quiet market that I can think of that might be useful. And I'll go over this. Let me just double check a few things here.
From that point up there that you just talked about, if the market does manage to rally up to that area, then a reversal out of that area, our first target on the way back down would be 59.60. This area right in here where we've been consolidating, where we have a weekly zone, where it's kind of been a center of gravity all morning. The market's just swinging from one side to the other. And this is, we just put in a new high on the session up here at, would we hit 65 and a quarter?
Another way to think about this also for, again, a little bit later today, because they're very quiet here, and only if this happens. So be careful with us until if and when it happens, because we're not making an outright forecast for them to do that. It's just what our actions would be if they do that. That's quite different than a forecast for the run up there. But we also have some other indications for today's sixth and seventh hour for a reversal of approximately, an initial reversal of approximately 9 points on the downside from the then current high. So there's definitely a trade in there, if not further. So we haven't put out a roadmap or anything for that, but I'm trying to be useful and helpful on the show each day. And I do. I try every day to give you something of some value that you can put to use on the market, whether it is an outright forecast, which we've done a number of recently, or outright roadmap, or if it's just an idea that you can play with and see if the market confirms. And if it does, then you can put that to use in your trading. But the wonderful thing about trading is that you don't have to lose all of your money. That's one of the wonderful things about trading. Another wonderful thing about trading is that you don't have to be angry every day because you lost money. Another wonderful thing about trading is that you don't have to lose money every day in the market. Another wonderful thing is at the end of the month, you can actually end up with extra money, more money than you started with in trading. And another wonderful thing is that you can take trading with a very light spirit. You can look at the markets, enjoy them, and wait for the easy and the obvious to present themselves to you. And if you learn to do that, I virtually guarantee you'll be a better trader than the guy who's chasing and trying to make every trade into something so he can make some money, so that he can pat himself on the back and say, well, I made some money today. You're going to be a much, much better person to deal with in day-to-day living if you take the attitude that you're simply looking for the easy and the obvious, and you're not really interested in all the tricky stuff so that you can say that you walked the high wire and came out alive on the other side. That makes great storytelling, but you're only going to be able to tell a couple of those stories before that high wire doesn't work for you, and you're going to, you know, fall off the high wire, and that means losing a sizable amount of money. It takes a long time, and it took me a long time, and I'm going to tell you right now that wherever you are in trading, trust me when I tell you this, if you're not at the point yet where you can come to the market every day and relax and not care about money, that's the target. That's where you want to be. You know, maybe other people have different ideas about it, but I have found for myself, and I've seen others who have not achieved that and what their results are, I have found for myself that that has made such a tremendous difference in my outlook and such a tremendous difference in my ability to, well, just to simply make points, my ability to be in a good trade, that I don't know of any other single thing that has done better for me. And it all boils down to the simple fact of waiting for the easy and the obvious and then acting upon that. Sometimes that means that I don't take a trade in a particular day. And so when I'm at lunch, because I didn't come to the office caring particularly about trying to make money, when I go to lunch and I didn't take any trades, I don't particularly care that I didn't take any trades. At some point, the market is going to, on its own, without any forcing from me, it's just going to show me something easy and obvious. And I'm just keeping a casual eye on it until the easy and obvious shows up. And then, when that happens, I'm going to take some action. And I'll trade it at whatever size or level I'm comfortable trading it at that time. But that has made such a huge difference in my trading life that I want others to know about it, because all of us are ingrained with the idea that we have to do something every day or we have to trade every day. Certainly there are trades that occur every day and can occur every day. But for you personally, forget about other people and forget about how, you know, all of your friends or other people that you know trade or what you think you should be doing. If you only do the easy and the obvious, you'll do a lot better. And I think you'll find, like I have, that being worried about money or being thinking about money has no value in this. What has value is being interested in, affectionate towards, finding, I don't know, I'm trying to find a better word than affectionate, but a good feeling, a warm feeling towards finding high probability trading setups.
Now,
and then do nothing else in between. Listen to the radio program, listen to Dwayne, try to pick up songs that, you know, that he can play that mimic something that other people like myself just said. Listen to Dwayne, you know, talk about markets. Whatever it is that happens on the radio program here, spend your time doing that a little bit, and the market will show you at some point the easy and obvious. What's easy and obvious for me may not be easy and obvious for another person and vice versa. Go ahead, Wayne.
I just want to say, when we talk about easy and obvious for people who are new or relatively new, it has to be what David is saying, and he's saying it, it has to be easy and obvious in real time. Because after the fact, it all looks easy and obvious.
That's right.
I can't even say that enough times or loud enough. I don't have a deep baritone voice to say it in. I don't have a shofar to blow. I mean, I'm just telling you that after the fact, it all looks easy and obvious. So it, what David is referring to is when the market does something in real time that you go, that's what he means.
I know this part of the river.
Okay.
Yeah, right. No, that he's exactly right. He's exactly right. And I've said it before, and so people have heard it so many times, they're tired of hearing me. But, you know, until you've gotten to the point yourself, and I know very few traders that are really that casual about their trading, but I've said this before on the program, I've sent lots of statements to Dwayne to show what we do with the markets. These are longer-term setups and trades, but that, you know, we're attempting to find what to us is easy and obvious in real time. The gold and silver rally, it wasn't easy and obvious to us until the ninth year of the advance. That's 2009 is when we got in. So up until that point, we had a lot of maybe, well, kind of, yeah, okay, ooh, that's good, maybe. But it wasn't easy and obvious until 2009. Go ahead, Wayne.
This came across my screen. There were three co-founders to Apple originally. Wozniak, Jobs, and a guy that most people have probably never heard of named Wayne.
Okay. There's always, in every story you have, there's a Dwayne. I don't know what that is, but, you know, you've got it going on with that name, I'll tell you.
And the deal is he designed the original Apple logo. He drew up the articles of incorporation. He left the company after 12 days. He sold his shares back to the company for $800, and those shares today have a market value of $35 billion, B as in boy, dollars.
Well, I guess that wasn't easy and obvious for him then, was it?
Guess it wasn't, man. And the guy's, you know, he's smiling. I mean, he's wearing like a leisure suit, but he's smiling.
But it's rented. That's the thing. If it's rented, it's not as good as owning the leisure suit.
Wow. He's written a book. I guess he's trying to make some money. You can buy it, Adventures of an Apple Founder on iTunes.
Well, good. Well, maybe he's found something,
hopefully,
you know,
yeah. Oh,
to do. I mean, anybody can make that error. I mean, who's the guy, the drummer?
If he was
first
smart
drummer
enough
for
to
the
be,
Beatles.
Pete something, wasn't it?
Yeah. And he kind of quit that band a little early too, didn't he?
Oh, man, yeah.
So, but you never know. You know, these anybody can make those mistakes, and you, again, you know, can you turn lemons into lemonade? Boy, that is a trader's question, because in many cases, traders will try to take a bad position and turn it into, you know, they'll do any number of things other than taking a position off. They'll try to sell options against it. They'll do this. They'll do that just to never have to say they're wrong. And then ultimately, you know, in the end, it just goes sideways on them even more. It's much better just to be incorrect about a position or reverse your position if you know to do so. And listen, I talk a good game. I'm well aware, and I've gotten pretty good at it on this radio program. But I have said this before, and I want to come as clean about it as so you know that when I say things to you, I'm not speaking down to people. I am not what I consider to be a great trader by any stretch of the imagination. I think that my trading is mediocre, to be honest. I can do it. I can trade. We've sent our statements to Dwayne. But in terms of what I know and what I'm able to do, those two are a long distance apart. My ability to forecast markets and understand markets is far superior to my ability to trade markets. Now, having said that, that means that I have plenty of room to grow in both areas. I can continue to grow, so can you, in the area of insight and into the markets and understanding what it is you're doing and what markets are doing, and also to continue to grow in the skill of actually trading and the ability to take on risk in size or whatever size you want to be in and make money in the markets. So I'm in it with you. I'm not talking down to people. I've been in it for 20 years, and whatever I've picked up, you know, I've said this before, there's always a faster gun out there. We all know that. But I feel that everybody has, most people anyway, not everybody is suited for the markets. But if you are suited for the markets at some level, I think I'm a much better researcher. Obviously, my work leans on the research side much more than it does on the trading side. But I also just love seeing a good trade, and I love seeing the setup in real time, like Dwayne said, and I love taking advantage of it. And, even at my mediocre level, we've done very well, and I've tried to, I want to be as transparent. There's nobody can be as transparent as Dwayne Reeves, but I'm going to try to be as transparent as he is. And by telling you that, because I have lots of work to do in my own trading to improve my use of my own insight into markets and to be able to profit from them. But boy, what a nice feeling it is, whether you're using your own technique or somebody else's, to make it your own, like people who have reflected wave, really make it your own, and then go in there and really put it to work. And then when you earn money from having done that, it's a very satisfying thing because you've really employed your understanding of what the markets are going to do and your understanding that the markets may not do that and that they certainly are possible that you may have to manage the risk, which you always have to do in this. So I just love it. I mean, my highest title for me would be market enthusiast, because that's what I am. I just absolutely adore the fact that the markets move up and down and that they do have a nature. You can actually make money. You can walk in and you can put some money in a brokerage account and you can earn some money right away. What a fabulous thing. And, it took a long time. It's a carnival game that takes an awful long time to, looks easy when you walk up to it, but there's quite a bit to it. And it took a long time for me to get to the point where I can say the things that I say today, because I'm saying them directly from my own experience. And when you get to those levels, if you're not already there, you'll know, to be blunt, what I know, which is that it can be done. It's a lot of fun. It's very satisfying to do, but you have to manage the downside because you can be wrong, and ultimately you will be wrong about something at some point. You also have to take a risk at some point. You can't do this risk-free. Don't look for the risk-free trade. It doesn't exist. There are such trades that once you've taken an initial risk, the remainder of the trade can be risk-free, an options trade or a setup in the futures, etc. But all you need is a high probability trade. You know, that's all you need. And you need to know how to find that and then just repeat until wealthy. So that's the route that I'm on, and I really enjoy talking the markets, which I've been doing on this program for 6 years, and I try to tell it exactly the way that I see it, and I've learned some enormously important things about myself along the way, and one of which is that I'm not good at trying to take the super extended risk, but I am very good, at least in my own way of looking at it, at relaxing and finding the easy and the obvious. And there's no lesser thing for me. The fact that, oh, well, you're waiting for the easy ones. That's why you do well. Yeah, you're not taking the tough trades over here. You're just taking the easy ones. And, I'll turn around and say, you're damn right. That's exactly what I do. That's exactly what I do. And it's a skill set to find the easy and the obvious. And you know it better than you probably even realize now. You probably already know what the easy and obvious is, but the male's nature is to always push the envelope, drag it across the edge, see if you can stand on the edge of the cliff and look down, all that stuff. That didn't work well for me in the markets. So I've learned to do the easy and obvious, and it's worked much, much better for me. And you know, like I mentioned, that this gold trade and these silver trades that we entered 9 years into the program, we're up several hundred thousand dollars. I mean, I don't speak about money that much on those trades. And we took a sizable position, but we took it because it was easy and it was obvious at that point. It was 9 years into the program. It had already been running. And finally, to us, it looked easy and obvious, and we took a large position. And fortunately, it worked out, and it continues to work. We're going to continue to trade it and take positions off and et cetera, et cetera. That type of trading isn't a cheat. It's a skill set to wait for and find the easy and obvious. So I've talked about this before in the program, and I sometimes think it's a good idea, especially with new people, to let them know that there's nothing wrong with you just waiting for the easy trades, and all the guys in junior high school are going to make fun of you that you're not doing the hard ones. But they're not, you know, what are you clearing at the factory there, Ted? You know, they're not making that much money with the hard trades, if you know what I mean. So I think it's something for you to consider, and don't let all the old junior high school ideas of, well, you're just taking the easy way out or whatever. No, it's a real skill set to even find the easy way, let alone take the easy way. It's a real skill set to find it. Trust me, you can get lost real fast and real deep in trying to find and trade the extended difficult trades and the high risk this and the high risk that and, you know, all that stuff. You can get lost in that stuff. It took me a long time to get to the point where I could even find the easy way. So hopefully I'm helping somebody by saying this, because the easy way is so direct and so simple and so easy that it's almost difficult to see it. So I hope that's helpful. And while we've been talking here, the S&P in today's fifth hour has gone up and did 67.75. So the market is doing the natural number, which, although this wasn't an outright forecast for this, we're 1 hour early, and they've gone up and they've done 67.75. We talked about the 68.69 level, and they're attempting to do that now. There's a very important principle at work that makes the market do this, the principle that has to do with a particular price level on a particular date, on a particular year, and a particular time. And that principle can be, I've demonstrated it a number of times on different markets with absolute forecasts. This one was just if they do this, because as I said, this one has a little bit more plus or minus in it, and I didn't want to turn it into a roadmap. But, you know, now that they're testing that level, my preference would be to see them test it into the sixth hour. Maybe they're doing it 1 hour early, and maybe we'll have to take the trade in a different way, but I'd like to see it tested in today's sixth hour, which begins in 30 minutes. So anyway, so if there's any questions or anything, I know I've covered a decent amount of ground here, and some of this I've talked about before, of course, but I think it's good to go over it, and I think it's good for people to hear you know, the truth about trading, very much what we've talked about so many times, what you've talked about, Dwayne, on the program, that, you know, you have to be real with yourself. And I've said this before, and there's a certain reality to this that you can see in real life and public life as well. If a person's not willing to be wrong, if he's not willing to take the hit, if he's not willing to be responsible for his own actions, he lives in a kind of peculiar bubble that has no relation, really, to reality. He might look good, he may talk good, he might be able to do his job, but in the real world, he's not really living in the real world. He's living in a protected bubble, and that protected bubble really stops him from doing what he really could be doing with his life and with his own talents and skills. And so, you know, I happen to believe, and I'm not going to turn this into a political conversation, that President Obama is one such person who cannot ever find himself wrong. He can never find himself in a position where he can admit something that he did might have had consequences that didn't work out as well as he thought they did. He just won't do that. And that leaves him in a kind of a bubble where he never gets to let reality rush in and hit him. And when you are in such a condition where you don't allow reality to hit you and rush in and change your behavior, you get into a point where you can't change your behavior. The only thing that can really change your behavior is reality. And if you don't let it in, your behavior doesn't change. So in the markets, let's move away from politics, if you're of the mindset that you can't be wrong, or if you are wrong, it's always somebody else's fault, and you've somehow put yourself in that bubble, you'll never improve. The improvement comes not from a new technique. The improvement comes from allowing reality to change you. That's how it really works. You let reality come in, that water floods in, and yeah, there's going to be a couple problems with that water in your home. It's going to splash around, and it's going to, you know, pull some of your furniture. But in the end, it changes you, and now you can deal with things much differently. Your behavior has changed. But if you live in that bubble, your behavior won't change no matter how hard you try to make it change. The only thing that can change your behavior is reality itself. And if you've blocked yourself off from reality, then you've blocked yourself off from being able to change your behavior. Go take a look around, and you take a look at people, and you see if that isn't true. They may struggle to change their behavior. I don't know why I do this. I always do the same thing over and over again. In some way, some shape, some form, they're not allowing reality in, because the elixir for change is in the reality itself. It's not in the person. The person is just a bunch of mental habits and ideas about themselves, and when reality comes in, if they allow it in, it allows them to change. It actually is the change. It actually is the actual change itself. But if you don't let it in, you don't change, and you spend an awful lot of time banging your head against the wall. All of that is true in real life, ordinary day-to-day life, but also in the markets as well. Be willing to be wrong. Be willing to be imperfect, gracefully imperfect. And you'll find in that imperfection, you're going to find a wonderful way to live, which has nothing to do with trying to be perfect in front of people. It has nothing to do with trying to be perfect in front of yourself. It has to do with understanding that reality has to be part of your life. You can't be living in a bubble. And if you are living in a bubble, at some point something's going to pop that bubble, or you're going to allow it to get popped, and you're going to find for yourself that that imperfection is part of real living, and it allows you to change and move with reality, and therefore be very good at what you do, whatever that thing is. So consider all that. Think about that. And think about people that you know, because it's very easy to see it in others, often not in ourselves, but it's very easy to see in others how a person might be protecting themselves from reality hitting them, and therefore they stay exactly like they've always been. They never change. And you do have an opportunity, a window of opportunity in your life, and that window of opportunity may be large or may be small, because you know, you may get carried away in something and forget about, you know, these ideas, and at some point later in life you're too old to even care. And that kind of thing happens. I think it's important to think about these things, not just because I'm saying them, but just think about them if they're important to you, and try to put it to work in your life. Don't be afraid of being wrong. Being wrong puts you a whole lot closer to reality, allowing something to be wrong and allowing it to be right as well. Some people have a lot of trouble being right. They can't, you know, it's uncomfortable for them in the same way that it's uncomfortable for some people to be wrong. Maybe you know somebody like that. They're almost embarrassed about being right, or they can't, it's difficult for them to accept. It's more rare, but the common thing is that people don't like to be wrong, and they protect themselves from that. So I have found in my life that by being willing to be wrong, that you get cleaned up by reality. And if you block that, then you won't change your behavior, and in many cases your behavior gets worse. So, you know, we've seen all that as well, in all kinds of ways. So anyway, back to the markets. Let's just finally consider this. We've done the 68 in the 1 hour early here on the upside. The market is testing that level. My preference is to see the market put the top in on the sixth hour, which is the hour that begins in about 24 minutes here. And if they do test that, then I would be very interested in shorting. I might do it earlier, but my preference would be on the on-time hour. That's just how I trade. And I don't want to scare you out of taking something on the short side, because they're already reversing here. We're already down 2 or 3 points from that initial test.
Yeah, so, Duane, I think for today, right back up here and test that again, though.
I'm sorry?
I said it could easily bounce from here and easily, go back up and test that.
Yeah, I prefer the on-time hour. And then also keep an eye on the euro, because, as we mentioned, this is the on-time week for a bottom in the euro. I would be very careful with the euro until we get further into the week. I have no intention of taking any long position right now for myself, but maybe later in the week or next week we might do something with it, and we'll talk about that as we get a little closer to then.
Beautiful.
And there you are.
All right, David.
See, watching all those Addams Family movies wasn't that bad for me. I've told that to my parents. I said, I didn't turn out all that bad.
Oh, Ed had a question. We had a powerful advance yesterday, off yesterday afternoon's low. Was that low an hourly or a daily reflective wave bottom?
No, but it was a reflected wave low yesterday, and those with reflected wave know exactly what I'm talking about. And that's why the market has advanced here. So we'll talk more about that tomorrow at the webinar, which is again is at 1:30 Pacific, 3:30 Central, 4:30 Eastern.
Okay.
If you want to come and listen to that. But a lot of the advance that occurred from yesterday, or not a lot of it, but I mean this particular advance is off of a reflected wave bottom. So the market has had a good run-up from it. We are testing some relatively important levels here. Certainly higher prices are possible today and into tomorrow. We haven't really set this up as a roadmap or anything like that. But there is going to be, as a matter of fact, we did talk, and I do want to mention, nobody's talked about it, but we do have for gold September 12th, which remains important, and we're going to set that trade up as we get a little closer to that date. I'm sorry, not September 12th, September 16th. Sorry about that. So September 13th is today. September 16th is the date. And depending on a couple other factors, if those things come together, then we're going to be trading for a sizable gain in gold. If you'd like to trade that, this would probably be an overnight position. So you have to check with your broker, Birch Lichter over at Daniel's Trading. Why don't we give out his number? He can give you the margin requirements and all that stuff. Dwayne, do you have that number?
866-928-3310.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. That could be a real nice little setup for us as well. So until tomorrow, Dwayne, I think for today that's everything we've got. We'll talk tomorrow, and I appreciate whatever questions we got today. I hope that was interesting and good, and keep an eye on the S&P here as we talked about earlier.
Pete Best was the first drummer for the Beatles, and the Apple guy now lives in a trailer in New Mexico, and he's very poor.
Oh.
Wow.
Well.
What a shame.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe he's living very happily.
Hey,
you know,
what if the guy's happy? He's happy. You know, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. Anyway, Dwayne, thanks very much. I'll plan on talking with you tomorrow, all of you.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much, David.
See you then.
Have a great
afternoon.
Of course,
my pleasure.
Okay.
You too, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys, Eddie is going to wrap it up for today. Let's go back here and have a quick look. Hey, right here. Here's the high of that doji that we put in early this morning. We came up. We challenged it. Now, see, we've still got a blue backbone here. CFMA1, backbone of the indicator set. I showed it to you on an hourly. Showing it to you on the 30-minute here. Okay, it gets red. The market drops. It gets blue. The market rallies. Okay. Now, that high was 1168. This high here was 6775. So I'll leave this chart running. Just watch for this thing to curl. Watch for it to get red. And then as the market drops, anticipate support in this area here at 5960. Okay? We may be able to take out that support level. If so, we have support below us. Okay. Now, there are numbers above. If you'd like to know what those numbers are, you need to come take the free trial. CFRN.net/apply. It really is just that simple. And also on the website, if you scroll down below the radio tower, you'll see this little tab here, Live Trading Room Results. That's a recap of what's gone on in the live trading room for the last 25 trading days, I believe it is. Let's see. Today, once I upload today's, it'll make 26. And we will continue to post those going forward. We've already shown you over the past 25 days that if we have a zero day, we post that. If we have a negative day, we post that. And when we have a good day, we post that and we don't, you know, brag about it. We just post it. Because that's the truth about trading. Some days are really good. Some days are mediocre. Some days you wish you'd gone golfing. But every day you show up on the field, you bring your very best game, and you do your very best work. Period. That's it. That's all you can do. All right, that's it. CFRN.net/apply. Come take advantage of the free trial if you're already on the free trial. There's going to be a partners meeting Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. That meeting is for partners only. So if you want to become a CFRN partner, you need to send an email to tech, T-E-C-H, at CFRN.net, or hang on. I'm going to log out of this thing. There we go. I've been released. Or you can call 415-857-5654. That number is on the home page of CFRN.net. You don't have to memorize it. 415-857-5654. Bert's number, right below, 866-928-3310. Okay? Right there, home page, CFRN, easy to find. From that home page, you can get to the radio page where you sign up to view the charts during the live session. And if you want to go to the blog, click on eMini Radio Blog, go to eMini Daily News, and that's where we post the stuff from day to day. Okay? All there just for you. Thanks for tuning in, whoever you are, wherever you are. May God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this. There is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.